created for purpose, a unique genetic blueprint from the moment of conception. DNA woven together to determine gender, eye color, hair color, fearfully and wonderfully made. Valued beyond measure. Our culture says life is disposable, her rights matter most, it's not really a baby. And it's all one big choice. But God created us in His own image and whispered, I have called you by name, you are mine. In the United States, abortion is legal throughout the entire pregnancy, totally unrestricted. Most recently, abortion has been boxed up in the form of two little pills and a promise to make it all go away. What will you do to make a difference for life? How can you be a voice? Will you help save a life? There are over 2,700 pregnancy centers in the United States, serving men and women free of charge and full of hope, providing pregnancy tests, life-affirming counsel, abortion recovery, classes, clothing, and diapers. Many centers offer the first glimpse of a woman's baby in the womb, displaying the magnificence of creation and the precious beats of a tiny heart, perfectly formed and fashioned by the one who created them. They serve faithfully, love well, encourage. They are hope dealers. They need volunteers, your prayers, and your financial support. Will you please give generously and help make a difference for life today?
Take out your notes, if you would, and turn in your Bible to the very first page, Genesis chapter 1. Follow along as I read Genesis 1, verses 26 to 28. And I'm just going to be using this. I'm going to try not to wander this morning like I normally do. I don't want to put the microphone on and then have Russ try to use that for Sunday school. So... Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Father, we thank you that today is a day that's set aside by believers, those who believe that life came from you. And Lord, 70 plus million children will never see what we get to see, the snow, the sun, enjoy food, enjoy fellowship, enjoy time together, never see their mom and dad. And Lord, we pray that that would be overthrown. We know the opposition is strong and a lot of wealth, but Lord, we know that you created life. And we're thankful, Lord, that we're on your side. And we just pray that you would turn the hearts of men and women in positions that can make these decisions to you. And just pray, Lord, that your will would be done in our nation. Bless our service now and bless all the churches that are standing for life today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to keep in mind that this that quick video there of a pregnancy on the screen. We're talking about, bless you. We talk about a doctor here in a few moments who witnessed that whole thing up on the screen there of a heart beating, how it changed his perspective. But today we want to ask you, are you thankful to be alive? Are you thankful that even in the midst of this worldwide turmoil and disease and sickness and hatred and bitterness and evil, aren't you thankful this morning to be alive? Aren't you thankful that you woke up, that you had the strength to be able to make it out and to come and worship together, that you can breathe, If you've had COVID, Larry said a few weeks ago he had a hard time breathing. So you don't when you're fighting for breath, you take it for granted, don't you? Until you're fighting for breath, you take breathing for granted. I remember I was in third grade, and I was out on the – we were playing ball, and I went up for a layup, and a guy came up, didn't mean to do it, took my leg out from under, and I landed on the pavement, the asphalt on my back, and I had the wind knocked out of me. I remember Mr. Whitland was my third grade teacher, and everybody was gathering around me, and I couldn't breathe. I mean, you're just fighting for breath, and I thought I was dead. I mean, I just thought I was dying. And Mr. Whitland came over and said, just take it easy, Ron, you're going to breathe. I'm thinking, you don't know what you're talking about. I can't breathe. And sure enough, what seemed like 20 hours, probably about 20 seconds later, I was and man, I'll never forget that experience. Never forget what it was like to not be able to breathe. But I am certainly thankful for life. I'm thankful that I was able to get up this morning. Life is a gift. And we just came through my favorite time of the year as we celebrated Christmas. And we're entering again some of your more favorite times of the year. The Olympics are next month. Football playoffs started. And I told you, I love the Super Bowl. I love March Madness. I just love the different seasons. And for those of you who hate winter, it's a nice thing to be able to enjoy all the seasons. I love parts of every one of them. So I don't mind the winter. I don't mind the cold. I don't mind the snow. I know some of you hate that. Some of you are looking forward to Florida here in a few weeks. And I heard that there's a cold thing stalled over Florida for the rest of February, so it's going to not be above 20 degrees. Not really. Hopefully it's going to be nice and warm and sunny for you. But those of you who like the spring and like the summer, rest assured, it's coming. The longer days, the warmer days, the times you can go camping and be outside with bonfires and go fishing and do all the things you like to do in the warmer weather, that's coming. For those of you who like snow, enjoy the skiing, enjoy the ice fishing and the colder temperatures. But life is so precious, and we are very grateful. We talk about when we retire, we're going to move south, we're going to go to South Carolina, or where we're going to go. When we're down there in the summer, I don't know if I could ever stand 100% humidity for 3 months. I don't know. We have family down there, and they say you just get used to it. I don't know that you could. So I do enjoy the different times of the year here, but we're possibly going to be going to Florida in March. We won't know for a couple weeks here, but we have friends who are going down there. Our friends who live in Green Bay invited us to go. Just not sure if we'll do that or not. But I love the beauty of the beach. I love the ocean. I love being out on the beaches. But I love the mountains too. I love the snow caps. I even love the bare trees. I know my wife hates that. She hates it when fall comes because she knows the leaves are coming down. But isn't it nice just to be alive? Isn't it nice just to be able to experience all that you've been able to experience in your life? I want you to think about this. The 70-plus million children who have been aborted since 1973 will never get to experience any of that. They're never going to get to see the beach. They're never going to get to experience the snow. They're never going to be able to experience any of that. And it's interesting that the media is now telling us that abortion is on the way down, that there are a lot less abortions than there were 10 years ago, but conservative research groups estimate that there are about 1.5 million abortions a year, and not quite a million are reported. So they're not saying that they're not coming down. They're just, the reporting is getting less and less. And then when you have those pills, the abortion pill, we really have no idea the number of abortions that take place each year. And to think about a teenage girl, 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old girl, who her doctor says to take a pill and everything will be okay. And she does that believing that, and then suffers the scars of abortion the rest of her life. The number of worldwide abortions really isn't going down. It's just the reporting is different and the keeping track of it is different. But there are some spiritual truths that we need to keep in mind as we think about the sanctity of Life Sunday and as we looked at Genesis chapter 1. So number one, you have it in your notes, there's God created life. God created life. And it says in verse 27, God created man in his own image. We all know the biological process of conception. We know, we've explained it to our children, if you're a parent, how the sex process works and how a child is born. We might not understand all the intricacies of it. We understand the biological process. But I want to ask you, do you truly believe that God created life? This past few months, I've probably heard more teenage girls getting pregnant. Some girls that I had in eighth grade who are now seniors, and some young people that I was pretty close to these last couple years are now pregnant. A girl just wrote to me the other day and said, I'm done school this week. She's at the high school. And I said, well, I'm supposed to be in Monday, but I think the snowstorm is going to cancel it. And she said, well, I'm done because I'm going off for pregnancy. And I knew she was pregnant. And I can tell you my first response when I hear those things is, what kind of parents are these kids going to make? And I think, this poor kid. And I don't often think, to be honest with you, I don't often think how precious it is that they have a human life in them. That's one of the last things I consider. I'm thinking more of how irresponsible their parents were for allowing a 12, 13-year-old girl to get pregnant. And then I think about, you know, what kind of parent are they going to be? I don't think about the child much. But God does remind us in the next chapter in Genesis, verse 7 of chapter 2, it said, then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. Every person we know, every child that's in a womb right now, even if it's a young teenager, unmarried teenager, that is a precious life that God created. And I have to remind myself of that when I feel like lecturing, when I feel like talking. So I've tried to go out of my way to encourage these girls and let them know that's a valuable life. And I thank them because it would be very easy. One girl's name's Kara, and I said, you know, it's been very easy for her to get a pill and to swallow it and abort that baby. No one would have ever known. So I do thank girls when they're 16, 17, 18 years old who choose life. And I want you to take a look at this picture for a moment. I know you can't see them very well, but I just Googled faces of the world, and that's what came up. So it's one of the pictures I chose, and I want you to look at that. And you don't know any of them, I don't think. I don't know any of them. But I want you to look at every one of those represents a whole tribe of people and a whole nation of people that Christ gave value to. Christ gave them value because he died in their place. He died for their sin. And we don't know probably any of them. We're probably not going to know many people from many different tribes and nations from around the world. But think of that as that Christ and God loved every one of them. And every face up there, God created. God created that life. And I want to ask you this question. What gives anyone the right to say those lives aren't valuable? Abortion saves lives. I was looking through abortion pictures when I saw it. I said, does anybody know what that means? Can anybody explain that to me? Abortion saves lives. Can anyone beside us see the absurdity of saying that abortion saves lives? I don't have any concept of where they're coming from with that. But who gives anyone the right to say that it's just tissue? That it's okay to murder? It's okay because it's not really a life yet. It's okay to throw it away. It's okay to dispose of it. It's okay to say they have no value. I'll tell you very simply and very honestly, nothing and no one gives them the right to do that. Because God says each one of them is valuable. So aren't you thankful this morning for the value of your life is not dependent on someone saying that you're valuable, that you're already valuable in God's eyes, that God's love for you, God's creation of you is what gives you value. And I always go back to this every Sanctity of Life Sunday, so if you're tired of me saying it, that's okay. As I go back to what Ronald Reagan said when he was president. He said, I've noticed that everyone who supports abortion has already been born. So keep that in mind. Those who say it's okay to throw away a life, their mom chose life for them. So we need to remind them of that, but we need to start off with understanding that God created life, and your reason is the right reason. So any woman who says, I don't want this pregnancy, that's fine. I was raped, that's fine. I'm worried that I don't have the money to support this child. We should have thought of that too. That's okay. Your reason is your reason. That's the reason. But abortion does not save lives. Abortion takes lives that God created. Number two is that God encourages life. In verse 28, that God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. When God said, be fruitful and multiply, and I've thought of this often over the years, do you think God was concerned about overpopulation? Do you think God was concerned about mankind using up the world's resources? I don't think so. See, what God is saying is, I want more people to be born. I want many people to come to life. I want people to be born. And what he says is, everyone that is born, I've put in them the breath of life. God is the one who designed it. God placed them there. So when God sees signs like abortion saves lives, it must break his heart. It must grieve him that man has come from this innocent child that's born to growing up to be an abortion supporter and an abortion encourager. Anybody, I was going to put his picture up here, but I didn't bother. Dr. Bernard Nathanson. Dr. Bernard Nathanson was the top abortion doctor back in the 70s. But something changed. I said it was when he saw the video of the woman. What is it called?
Ultrasound.
Thank you. It's probably in my notes somewhere. But when he saw the ultrasound, he became pro-life. And I want you to listen to what he says as he's talking to a group after becoming pro-life. He says, I am personally responsible for 75,000 abortions. This legitimizes my credentials to speak to you with some authority on the issue of abortion. I was one of the founders of the National Association for the Repeal of the Abortion Laws in the United States in 1968. Listen to this. A truthful poll, and this is Dr. Nathanson speaking, a truthful poll of opinion then would have been that most Americans were against. In 1968, most Americans were against permissive abortion. Yet within 5 years, we had convinced the Supreme Court to issue the decision which legalized abortion throughout America in 1973, and we produced virtual abortion on demand up to birth. He's saying the popular opinion back in that day was no one wanted abortion, but he says we, as a group, convinced the Supreme Court to think differently. He said, how do we do this? It's important to keep in mind the tactics involved, because these tactics have been used throughout the Western world with one permutation or another in order to change abortion law. Listen to what he says. We persuaded the media that the cause of permission abortion was a liberal, enlightened, sophisticated one. In other words, life really doesn't come from God. We control it. It's a sophisticated thing to think about this. Knowing that if a true poll were taken, we would be soundly defeated, we simply fabricated the results of fictional polls. Dr. Nathanson, the real founder of abortion, said we fabricated the results of fictional polls. We announced to the media that we had taken polls and that 60% of Americans were in favor of permissive abortion. This is the tactic of the self-fulfilling lie. Few people care to be in the minority. That's Dr. Nathanson saying that. People don't want to be in the minority. They want to be with the majority. And we see that every day, everywhere now. We aroused enough sympathy to sell our program of a permissive abortion by fabricating the number of illegal abortions done annually in the United States. The actual figure was not quite 100,000, but the figure we gave to the media repeatedly was over 1 million. So back in the 70s, not even 100,000 people had abortions, but they were reporting that it was a million. Listen to this. Repeating the big lie often enough convinces the public. Does that sound familiar? That's what we're going through right now, isn't it? Repeating a lie enough, people are going to start believing it. And people don't want to be in the minority. People don't want to be in the minority and say, well, whether you're on the vaccinated side or the unvaccinated side, nobody wants to be on the side that isn't the most popular. Let me ask this. I said, what caused him to change his view? This is all in an article. What caused him to change his view from a lump of tissue to a living life in the womb? He witnessed an ultrasound on a woman in 1976, and the ultrasound opened up to him as a doctor, a medical doctor performing abortions. He saw fetal development in a whole new realm. He was with a group of residents as they watched this pregnant woman receiving the ultrasound, and they said the gel was spread on her stomach, and the sensor moved around and showed something new to him on the screen. Here's what he said. As the screen became clearer, I was amazed. I could see a throbbing heart. Then the technician focused on the image. I could see all four chambers of the baby's heart pumping blood. In my mind, instantly, I dropped the word fetus in favor of the word baby. Suddenly, this doctor who was performing abortions and knew the sexual stuff of how that baby was formed completely changed his focus. His medicine was changed focus as well. His whole practice came into focus. He knew that what he was seeing in the womb was not a fetus, it was life. And this is what he said. In an article several years later for the New England Journal of Medicine, he wrote, "In abortion, we are taking life. The fetus is not mere tissue. It's human life. God created life. God encourages life." Do you think God is bothered by what he sees in the world? Is he bothered when he sees rape? Is he bothered when he sees incest and fornication and babies being produced by ungodly dads on their daughters and premarital sex? Is he angered by that and frustrated? I'm sure he is. Those are all sin. But I can tell you, he would never, never encourage any woman to end the pregnancy. He would never tell a woman, well, I understand, I know that this child is from an illicit sexual relationship as a young teenager. I understand that. Go ahead and murder the child. God would never say that. That, and I put that up there, the lie comes straight from Satan. And we need to keep in mind, we need to be supporters of life. It's very easy for us in our pulpits and in our little pews here to condemn people for their wrong choices to get in the pregnancy in the first place. But when a young woman chooses life, we need to be very grateful for that. And we need to understand that that life comes from God. And we need to be ready to support in any way we can. Financially, our church is doing okay, and we're not ready to start a crisis pregnancy center through our church or anything, but we need to be able to give to that. We need to be able to support those ministries. We need to be able to buy blankets and things and give to crisis pregnancy centers. We need to pray for these crisis pregnancy centers. We need to pray for ministries like the Samaritan's Purse that reach out throughout the world, but they also work in crisis pregnancy centers and in counseling women and young girls who are facing this difficult decision of, am I going to keep this baby and be a 18-year-old mom without a husband around? And maybe I'll have support of my family. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll have to move out and be on my own. What kind of job am I going to get? Or do I need to take the convenient way and just end it all because that's what the world tells me is okay? We need to be, as a church and as Christians, we need to be standing behind these girls and supporting them and letting them know that we're proud that they're choosing life. Not that they got into the situation they're in. That was sin. We don't continue to preach and bang them over the head. We need to encourage them that God encourages life. And then finally, all life reflects God's image. In verses 27 and 28, so God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female created them. And God blessed them. God said, be fruitful and multiply. And he's giving them dominion over that. But Oh, I want to stop for a moment. Ron, I want to play that video back up to this, what we were just talking about with abortion. And I want to play, this is a video we've shown before, and it's called Tears of Abortion. It's a little girl reading a story post-abortion.
Hi, Mommy. Let me introduce myself. I'm 3, 4, 7 inches long. I have all of my organs, and my heart started beating today. I am alive. I love the feeling of your heartbeat. Every beat wants to make me dance and lift my arms and legs. I like it here inside you. Mommy, today I learned to suck my bum. If you can see me, you can definitely tell that I was a baby. I'm very cute. I'm not big enough to survive outside my home. That's okay. I feel safe in here. It's so nice and warm. I may decide never to leave. I look forward to our first time. You know what, Mommy? I'm a girl. I hope that makes you happy. I always want to make you happy. I started hearing today. You sound so sad. I don't like it when you're sad. It makes me sad too. I cry with you even though you can't hear me. To cheer you up today, I have to share a secret with you. My favorite lullaby is the sound of your heartbeat. I know it's mushy, but I look forward to holding your hand. I love you. Mommy, my hair is starting to grow. It's very short and fine. I'll have a lot of it. I spend a lot of time exercising. I can move my head and wiggle my fingers and wiggle my toes. I stretch my arms and legs. My favorite is the kick, then slide back to the bottom. I really enjoy kissing your cheek right now. You went to the doctor today. He lied to you. He called me a blob of cells and said I was not a baby. I am alive. I am a baby. Mommy, you're a baby. I think and feel. Mommy, what is an abortion? It doesn't matter. We're having too much fun. This journey will never end. I'm the pee in your pod. I'll imagine seeing your face in my dreams tonight. Sleep tight. I can hear the doctor again. I don't like him. He seems cold and heartless. He definitely doesn't have your sense of humor. That's new. What is that? Something is poking into my home. The doctor calls it a needle. Mommy, what is that? It burns. Please make him stop. I can't get away from it. It hurts. Mommy, don't you want me? Please help me. The man in the bright clothes told me about abortion. Why didn't you want me, Mommy? A nice man picked me up, and he told me all day today. It's as if he created me. He is very warm and cozy. He said to tell you he loves you and hopes you ask him for forgiveness. I think you two will be great friends. I miss you, Mommy. Because of abortion, my eyes will never see your face. My arms will never give you a hug. My legs will never dance to a tune that you're playing. My lips will never kiss you on a cheek. My mouth will never whisper, I love you. My fingers will never be wrapped in your hand. My nose will never snort at your funny jokes. My little heart will never feel your smile of approval. Because of abortion, we missed each other.
I've probably seen that video 20, 25 times, and I remember the very first time I saw it, I sobbed. And then it got, as I watched a little bit more, I'd cry a little bit, and then I watched it yesterday as I was preparing it, and I had a tear in my eye, and just now I had a couple tears come down. I wonder what was the shift from the first time I saw it, where I actually sobbed tears, to now it's I get a little watery-eyed. It's still the same thing. And I think maybe our heart's growing a little bit callous to this. Maybe we've heard enough abortion messages and sanctity of life messages that we're just saying, okay, this is another Sunday. It's almost done. Abortion is real. And life is real. And God created it and God encouraged it. And all life, all those pictures we saw up here, they reflect God's image. Everyone that we see in life is created by God and bears his image. The fact that we think and we have emotions and we can reason show that we are in God's image. Those are the things that are developed in the womb, not as a result of abortion or evolution. And we're not God. We don't deserve the worship. We're Buddha and Muhammad and the Pope. None of them deserve worship, but they were all created in God's image. And we need to understand that humanity has fallen so far away from what God designed. We have fallen so far short from God saying, I created everyone in his image, and the Garden of Eden and the perfection that was there, the innocence that was there until man chose to sin. But we need to understand that this all came from life. We didn't progress because of evolution. And Dr. Nathanson showed that the abortion industry lied and deceived the world through the media, and mankind has fallen into the trap of going the world's way and listening to the world. What was it that occurred? What brought about this change? Let me think about a few things that stick out in Scripture that are kind of like a red flag to us. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, when Satan went to the garden, he questioned God. He said, Did God really say that? And then Adam and Eve chose to fall. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, it's a story, you kind of read it and kind of laugh about it. It says, at the time of year when kings went out to war, like they had a season for that, we're told, but David remained in Jerusalem, the beginning of his fall. Solomon, David's life was altered. In 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1, Solomon had been reigning, and he was the wisest man that ever lived. But these words says, now King Solomon loved many foreign women, the beginning of his downfall. God had given command not to marry foreign women because they're going to turn their hearts from God. This is what's happened in America. We've allowed Satan, his words, his lies, cause us to question God's goodness. Would God really, if God's a loving God, would he really allow this kind of sickness? Would he allow cancer? Would he allow heart disease? Would he allow people to have these kind of sicknesses that bring so much sorrow? If God was really loving, would he allow your child to be born that way? It's better to abort them if you know it's going to be a Down syndrome child. If God was that loving, did God really say he loved you? That would be Satan's lie. We've allowed the allure of the world and the things and the promises of the world to seep in and then control not only our thoughts, but our actions and our behavior. And the world is following this way. Even believers, sadly to say, attempt to compromise their faith in order to indulge the things of the world, because not even Christians want to be in the minority, do we? I know believers who won't take a stand for Christ for anything because they don't want to be accused of being a religious fanatic. Satan's caused us to completely devalue life, whether it's life in the womb or life at the other end of life. The older people, they don't really deserve anything. And again, I know I've said this, but I go back to walking the streets of China. I wish we could go. We don't like the Chinese stand on abortion, but man, their stance on the aged is spectacular. I told you, if you were to walk with me and we were to walk through Beijing, we'd have to stand on the streets and we'd have to kind of weave through. Maybe I don't know if I'm elderly enough, maybe because I have white hair, but an elderly person puts their toe in the street in Beijing, traffic stops, and they let the elderly cross in front of them. And that's what you wait for. You hope for an elderly person to come up so you can cross the street when you're walking. But their respect for the elderly, their respect for abortion or for sanctity of life is not there. But man, they can teach us a thing or two about how to respect the elderly in our country. But Satan has caused us to devalue life, to treat sex as a toy, and pregnancy is a thing to be thrown out and disposed of. What can we do? What can believers do? And here's just some thing in closing. I have it down there. If you could just fill it in your notes. And you could probably put some more down. These are just three things that I put up there. We need to commit to pray for our world. We need to pray for the lost. We need to pray that people would open their eyes to the gospel of Christ, that they would realize their personal need. We need to recommit our life to God's word and then to live in obedience to it and devotion to it. The word of God can't just be something we read on Sunday mornings when we come to church. We need to be spending time in it. Hopefully you're doing your memory verse program. We got through, at least I'm through the first six. I'm in the second six. The second six are much easier than the first six. I still struggle sometimes with 2 Corinthians 5:17, and I know what it is, but to remember the reference and obedience to Christ and all those things that are headings, I struggle with that. Even though I learned all these, I did all 64 of these 20 years ago. It's like I'm relearning them again now. But I trust that the Word of God is important to you. Read through it. I trust you're doing some kind of a quiet time every day. But show your devotion to the Word. And then be willing to stand for God, to stand for His Word, and to stand for life. You need to be a voice. Each one of us needs to be a voice for those that cannot speak for themselves. And these children that are being aborted can't speak for themselves. And I love that video so much. Just that little girl's soft, precious voice just saying, "Don't you want me, Mommy? What is an abortion?" Can you imagine if a mother who's contemplating abortion today could see that video? That would change her life for sure. If she could see her ultrasound, just like it changed Dr. Nathanson's, it would change her perspective on what's inside her womb. We need to be a voice. We need to be able to stand up and say, God loves life. God encourages life. God created life. And your baby, if you choose to keep it, is going to reflect His image. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. I thank You for what this day represents across our country. I pray, Lord, for the ministries and churches that are taking a stand for life today and pastors that are being willing to stand and preach sanctity of life messages, that You would bless those churches and bless the believers, Lord. Pray that Christians would be empowered to go out and to make a difference, to be a voice for those who can't speak for themselves. And Father, we'll give You the praise for what You're going to do in our church, in our community, in our nation, Lord, through believers who stand for You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let's all stand. In the back, you will find nomination forms for deacons, trustees, etc., officers. They're sitting right back there. Pick one up, and a couple up, two in a family, whatever you want to do. Fill them out if you'd like to. Who you think is that, and we need them by next week.